Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. This is God's Word. "So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now, we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. It starts out saying, "So when we could stand it no longer." Stand what no longer? What's he talking about? Well, look at the previous paragraph. "Brothers, when we were torn away from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you, for we wanted to come to you. Certainly, I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan stopped us." He was so eager to see these folks, and yet Paul's love for them and his longing to be with them did not open the door for him to go. Do you ever have the mistaken notion that if you want something, you're entitled to it? That's a disease. God is in charge. Well, but he said Satan blocked him. Yeah. Do you remember the book of Job? We studied it earlier this year. Satan can only do what God allows, and God allows things for his glory and our good. And the fact that you want something, really want it, I mean, really want it, doesn't mean you get it. Get used to it. Life's like that. But the fact of the matter is, a lot of folks think if they want that job, that income, that house, that spouse, whatever it might be, that's That's the way it's got to be. I'm entitled to get what I want. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Reality is not like that. You're not God. God can speak things into being, but you and I only have authority when we're speaking God's word. When we agree with God and say what he says, then we can know with confidence God will always do what he has promised. In 1 John, we read, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, we have the petition that we desire of him. You can count on God to do what he has promised. And you can agree with God as to what is coming and see it happen. But don't think that he's put you in charge. He hasn't. Paul's love for these folks and his longing to be with them did not open the way for him to go. So, he says, when he could stand it no longer, I just can't stand it any longer. You felt like that? Paul felt like that. And so what he did was he sent Timothy. He said, okay, I'll stay in Athens alone. Timothy, you go check on the folks in Thessalonica. I want to be sure they're okay. Think about it. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have FaceTime or Zoom. He couldn't send a letter through the U.S. Post Office, which sometimes still gets the mail through. He didn't have that option. Well, did they have mail back then? Yes, clearly they did. This is a letter, okay? It's 1 Thessalonians is Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica. But sending letters back and forth now is not nearly as reassuring as a phone call. And back then, the mail service was not as good as it is now. So Paul says, I just had to send somebody that I knew I could trust and that I knew you could trust. And so I sent Timothy to see how you're doing. And he says, but Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. So Paul sent Timothy because he couldn't go himself, even though he really wanted to. Learn from that. Again, that just because you want something doesn't mean you get to have it. Doesn't mean you're entitled to it. It's okay to want it. Paul knew what it was to long for something and not have that longing fulfilled. You need to accept that as a part of life. It's a part of reality. Second point, however, is that the reason Paul was especially concerned about how they were doing was he wondered how they were handling persecution. That's his concern. Look at verses 3 and 4. It was so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. We wanted to encourage you and strengthen you so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. Look at verse 7. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. I got a phone call 30 minutes before chapel, and part of the conversation, the reason these folks were calling, they're missionaries overseas, and they were asking that we please pray for the church in Laos, country right next to Cambodia and Vietnam, right down there, close to Thailand, right in that peninsula. And the reason they're asking special prayers for the church in Laos is because a very strategically important pastor just got murdered there. And it's really been traumatic for the churches. Because this is somebody that had a huge impact. God was blessing his ministry. And so he got murdered. He died for his faith. And so they're asking that we pray. And I would encourage you to do that. But I also want you to understand this is going on all over the world all the time. There are people in prison because of their faith. There are people who have had their homes burned because of their faith. There are churches that are being destroyed. This is the norm. We said it before. Don't be surprised when persecution comes. Be amazed when you've got good times. Now, I remember in college as I was learning more about the fact that persecution is the norm, and I began to feel like maybe something was wrong with me because I had enough money to pay my bills. My family was poor, but I was working and we were living modestly, and I was very grateful that I wasn't going without food or that kind of thing, and I wasn't being persecuted for my faith. I was attending a Christian college, and folks there were pretty friendly. And I just felt badly, and I went to a fellow who was a guest speaker there at the college, and I said, you know, is there something wrong with my walk with God that I'm not going through suffering? And thank God he directed me to Philippians, where Paul says, I've learned the secret of being content, whether in plenty or in want. Okay? If God gives you an opportunity to lie down in green pastures and enjoy the still waters, praise the Lord for that. There may well be seasons of your life where there is no persecution. Thank God. But don't be surprised when persecution comes. Look in John chapter 15 at what Jesus says. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. Jesus said, you and I who follow him should expect to be treated the way that Jesus was treated. How was Jesus treated? Well, some people loved him. Some people hated him. Well, the people who hated him without reason. They didn't hate him because he was mean to them. They saw the miracles. They experienced amazing things. And yet, they hated him without reason. Right now, there are lots of people in American churches who feel that if we do the right thing, everybody will love us. If we just learn how to present it better, everybody will want to be a Christian. We just need to make everybody feel loved and accepted just the way they are. Well, that's a half-truth, which is a lie. Because God invites us to come just as we are, but not to stay just as we are. God wants to not only forgive us, but to transform us. And so if you come to the Lord saying, I want the forgiveness part, but not the Lord part, okay? I don't want you to be my boss. I've got my own plans. Because after all, as we mentioned earlier, I feel entitled to whatever I want. That's not the gospel. That's a lie. Satan said, you don't have to obey God's word. Don't believe what he said. He's just trying to keep you from getting what would really make your life better. Do you remember in the previous passage, in chapter 2, He says, we thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. Folks, how do you receive the word of God? Is it just an old book? Is it just something we have to study because we're at St. Andrew's School at Wares Valley Ranch? Or do you understand this is a treasure? This is the very word of God. God is speaking to you. That's why I pray each time that God will give you ears to hear his voice and give me ears to hear his voice. Because this is not the word of man. This is not Pastor Wood said. This is the word of God. God speaks to us through this.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, and he's holding out his hand. Persecution doesn't stop the work of God. God is continuing to multiply his body around the world. And so, what is Paul's hope and longing for those that he loves? He shows us here. It's not, and I'm just praying that you guys will not have any more persecution. He says, no, we were destined for these sufferings. This was part of the plan, part of the design. God uses this to refine us, and as many have said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. God multiplies the outreach in the midst of suffering. Some of the places on the planet right now where the church is growing fastest and strongest are in those places where the persecution is most intense. Iran, by the way, being one of those. Now, Paul's hope and longing for those he loves happens to be our main point. Here it is. So that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. So that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Now you keep writing that, but it's the last part of the last verse in chapter 3. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. That was Paul's great desire for these people. That's what he wanted to see happen. He wanted them to be holy. He wanted them to be blameless. You and I are called to holiness. Is that your great desire for the people that you love? The people that you care about, is your longing that they would be healthy physically? I pray for a bunch of people to experience physical healing. And God in his mercy has answered some of those prayers in dramatic fashion. But let me just tell you something. You can have a healthy body and go to hell. And that would really be tragic. You and I are going to die. And I would like to be healthy as long as possible because I want to be useful as long as possible. But the fact of the matter is, one of these days, one way or another, I'm going to die. And then eternity. What matters is our relationship with the Lord. That's the only thing that lasts forever. So is your great desire for those you love that they would be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all of his holy ones? By the way, notice it doesn't say if our Lord Jesus comes. He's coming. Paul knew it. And this is the word of God. God is speaking to us this day and reminding us it is a fact. Jesus will come again. And he's going to come with all his holy ones. That should inform our eschatology. That should tell us a little something about how these things are going to transpire. When he comes, he's going to come with all his holy ones, and those who are still on earth at that time are going to be joined with him forever. Hallelujah. I'm longing for that day. So is that your great desire for those you love? It should inform your prayers. You should be praying for them that they will be blameless and holy when Jesus comes. But secondly, is that your great desire for your life? What is it that you want? Is it to be a brilliant student, to make a lot of money, to be able to retire early, to be a champion in sports? I mean, what is your great overriding desire? Well, I would like those things. Well, it's okay to be a champion in sports. It's okay to make a lot of money. But if that's your big goal, you can achieve your goal, maybe, and still find out it's empty. You can marry that person you thought would be so great and make a ton of money so that you now have all sorts of resources and prestige, and then you wonder, why do I still feel empty? Only Jesus can satisfy you. But let me tell you something, Jesus can satisfy you. Jesus can. Jesus knows your deepest need because you were made for him. So let your greatest desire be that you might be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. We sang about still being in need of a Savior. That's not because the Savior hasn't come. It's because even after we trust him, we need him. It's only his righteousness that makes us holy. It is only his grace that is transforming us from the inside out. Trust in Jesus. He will never fail you. That's what the Ebenezer is about. I met my wife at the Stone of Ebenezer. That's what we named our little meeting place in Black Mountain, North Carolina, back in the 1970s. It was named the Stone of Ebenezer for the Old Testament story where they erected a stone pillar in order to remember what God had done. You and I need to have those stones of Ebenezer where we remember. I don't know what lies ahead, but I know God has brought me this far, and I know I can depend on him. He will never fail. Trust in the Lord. Make it your aim to be found in him, in the light, trusting in Jesus.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.